Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight I want to welcome back to the show Brad Olson. He is an award-winning author, book publisher, and event producer. His keynote presentations and interviews continue to enlighten audiences at several events, and he has appeared on dozens of radio and television shows, including Ancient Aliens, America Unearthed, Beyond Belief, and Mysteries of the Outdoors. Brad, welcome back. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yes, it is. And tonight we've got a lot to talk about. You and I can discuss basically any topic that I have on my show. Tonight we're going to be covering everything from Antarctica's mysteries to our ever-increasing dystopian reality that we find ourselves in. I thought a great place to start tonight would be some of the events we're seeing kind of play out right now. There's rumors of war, there's social unrest, major earth changes, and now this terrifying coronavirus. Some would say, like Leo Zagami, that it's all by design. It's some sort of end-time scenario, like a playbook that these elite powers in control are going by. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that this is some kind of grand agenda that's being played out right now?
Yeah, it seems like this story is moving real quick, and I was up skiing all day in the powder snow, so I missed the basketball player dying and the virus spreading. So on the big picture, though, I would have to agree with you that there is an agenda that is taking place. All we need to do is read the Georgia Guidestones, where it says that humanity should live in balance with 500 million people. Well, that doesn't account for the other 90%+ of us. So if you want to talk about a slow kill agenda, there's a lot going on. And so what this new coronavirus really seems dubious to me is that we're already hearing that there's a vaccine for it. We're already hearing that there's a cure. And when you have a profit motive, Chris, you know that there's money interest involved. And once again, we've heard so many of these other ones, from the swine flu to the chicken virus and all these that come out, and it's like these scare tactics that we just keep having to roll with the punches. And I just won't play into that fear tactic game. And I think your listeners are pretty savvy themselves and probably are already seeing that this is looks like another false flag, or at least
I'm so glad you said that. I really am so glad you said that, because I couldn't agree with you more. I think this is some kind of fear tactic. Whatever is in control in the grand scheme of things just feeds off of fear. And I think this is just another tactic to get everyone all riled up and not focused on some of the other underlying agendas that are being played out right now.
That's right. And the classic saying is, when you see the media pushing one agenda, what are they hiding on the other side? And that's the story, the esoteric journey that I always endeavor to take, is to find out what we're not being told. Because that's a form of lying. When you're not being told something, that's withholding information, and it can be just as bad as a flat-out lie. So what is going on? Perhaps something with the economy in China, perhaps something in our politics with the impeachment trial, which, again, I'm staying blissfully unaware on that one, too. But there are events that are taking place all around us, and you see everybody jumping on the bandwagon, and it's this way, it's this way, it's this way. Usually it's the opposite. Usually it's 180 degrees on the other side. So I'd be very dubious of taking a vaccine for this new flu coming out of China. I know it's on our shores and people are getting really upset about it, but we've been through this before, and hey, we're still here to talk about it.
You're right 100%. And you know, what is behind the scenes that's going on that people that they don't want people to find out about. And I think it has a lot to do with us awakening to everything and all these, you know, bad things, these evil characters coming out from behind the scenes and the deeds that they've done. I think that they're trying to slow this progression of us finding out about this and waking up to everything that's really going on behind the scenes. I think they're terrified.
Yeah, I think you're hit the nail on the head there, Chris, because we are waking up and these false flags don't work on us anymore. And we're seeing right through the fake news doesn't have the effect it once did. And they're getting desperate. You can tell it. It's tangible. You can feel it, that the elite they're feeling like their backs are up against the wall. So what do? They spring another big news story to put us all in a fear-based emotion. And what happens when we go fear-based? We don't think rationally. We can't think things through. We go into that reptilian brain mode where we have this knee-jerk reaction. Ah, virus, country, killing people, dead, ah! And you don't think it all the way through. And this is why I think your listeners are very savvy in this department and can understand exactly what I'm saying, that there is a motivation to keep us dummied down, to keep us not awakening, but it's not gonna work. And we are awakening at a very quickened pace. And so when you can give up the fear, when you can give up the anger, when you give up these low vibrational emotions and stay in a higher vibrational happy place, these things don't really affect you so much anymore. So that's my position on it. I think yours as well. And hey, we're going to be in Laughlin, Nevada in 3 weeks for the great UFO Mega Conference. And I'm sure a lot of the wonderful speakers that are going to be there are also going to talk in terms of this great awakening that we are witnessing.
Definitely. I can't wait for that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the show. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Me personally, I think this whole election thing is just another part of the show. I don't follow politics. I don't support either side. I think it's all a show. I think that presidents are mainly just figureheads and puppets for the real power behind the scenes. And everybody's distracted with this upcoming election, and everybody is divided extremely. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you think it's just all a big show? Do our presidents hold any power, or is it just, or, you know, do these powers behind the scenes, are they the ones really pulling the strings?
Yeah, I like the saying that presidents are not elected, they're selected. Now, we got to say that Donald Trump is a little unusual. He's not quite of the mold of the other ones. And this is perhaps why this impeachment is just reaching such a fervid pitch in an election year. I mean, this is really unprecedented to have this. So you can tell that the other side is very, very nervous of this guy. Now, is he beholden to moneyed interests? I'd say, yeah, probably so. Is he a little bit different as far as taking orders from the top? I'd say yes as well. But again, arguing over politics is low vibrational conversation. And what I mean by that is, look, you and I really can't do anything about it. We can talk about politics till the chickens come home, and it won't do anything. They think we can go out and vote, and I always vote. It is a worthwhile cause, but in the grand scheme of things, it's just so minor as compared to the mechanizations that are at work here with the political forces in this country. And look, America is the great last stand because we do have such a strong constitution. We do have a Second Amendment, and a lot of people are bearing arms, and it looks like it might come to a showdown in Virginia, this whole thing that's acting up. And America's where it's at. If this new world order is going to take hold, and I'm covering this in my next book called Beyond Esoteric, Escaping Prison Planet. So this is exactly the kind of content I'm very interested in understanding and writing about, because humans are in this game together. And when I speak humans, like the whole planet, the human consciousness that we're a part of. But America is where it's going down, because if America loses those constitutional rights, and we've seen them being whittled away slowly and surely, that if America goes down, the rest of the world will not have a standing chance against these globalists. So the big showdown is going on right here, and people need to be aware of that and take a stand. Not violently, not out on the street, not fighting, because we go violent, we play in their game, and we'll get slaughtered. What we have to do is beat them with our mind. And I say in my book, Modern Esoteric, the revolution is consciousness. It's us awakening and not being fooled by these games anymore, and just seeing right through it and knowing that we are very empowered as human beings if we choose to be. And that's where I choose to be, and I think you as well.
You're right.
Let's just keep on, being aware of what's going on in the world, but not being affected by it so that it's bringing us into that fear or anger state.
You're right. But, and it's a huge battle, because they are fighting to keep us from doing that, to keep us from standing up. And they've been doing it for so long. They've been pumping us with crap foods and GMOs, and then spraying crap in the air, and then, giving us this indoctrination through social media and the media. So we have to turn it around, and it's such an uphill battle because it's been going on for so long. Do you think that it's possible that we can turn around this indoctrination and actually get people to stand up? Because I think that's what we're lacking right now, is people actually standing up and, taking to the streets, doing something besides just saying, oh, this is so terrible,
Yeah, and this is exactly what I'm saying, but doing it with nonviolent resistance, taking a page out of Gandhi and Martin Luther King and John Lennon and all the great peacemakers who made a stand, who had a voice, who had made change in the world, but didn't fight up with guns and arms, because that's not the way we're going to win this war. We're going to win this war by conversations like this, by writing articles or even on social media, because the pen is mightier than the sword. We really can win this with consciousness, with just our awareness to the situation. And you're absolutely right. We are in the middle of a slow kill agenda. You mentioned what's being sprayed on us, fluoride in our water. We don't have a choice in that. You could buy bottled water, you could get a Berkey filter and get it out, buy fluoride-free toothpaste like I do, but GMOs in our food, it's really hard to detect that. And we're being poisoned on so many different levels, and now you got the 5G rollout. I mean, what is going on here? Governments are supposed to be in place to protect us, not to harm us. And unfortunately, I think the opposite is true. So therefore, our only choice, Chris, is to arm ourselves with knowledge, to understand what's going on, and take the correct measures to protect ourselves. And I've often said in my esoteric series of books that understanding what's going on is going to make you better person, smarter, healthier, live longer, but you have to know what's going on first. If you choose to be ignorant to it all, then you really can only blame yourself if things go wrong in your life.
Now, going a little deeper when it comes to the powers behind the scene and control, do you think that it really is going back to ancient bloodlines that go back thousands of years that hold great power? Do you think that the ones that are control are part of these ancient bloodlines that could go back even further than ancient Egypt, possibly to further than Sumeria, to Atlantis? What are your thoughts on that?
Chris, I look over your shoulder and I see the Syrian gods, I see some of the fish heads, I see the Sumerian lying there. Yeah, absolutely. This goes way back. And it's called Babylonian money magic, how they've tricked us into this fiat currency system, that goes way, way back. It goes back to even as far as the Egyptian. Keep in mind that an Egyptian pharaoh was a man like you and me, but was considered a living god. When that power shifted over the Mediterranean Sea to the Roman world, the Caesar was a living god and considered so by his subjects. Now, who do we have living in the Vatican in Rome but the Pope, who has an ear to God? You see, so there's always someone who has to be this intermediary between us. And this is all part of the control grid. This is all part of this prison planet that we find ourselves trapped in. So to identify who's doing this is the very first step. It's almost like a alcoholic going to an AA meeting, and the first thing you have to do is admit that you have a problem, admit that you got to take care of yourself. And the same thing goes with countering what is going on in the world today. And then you can start remedying the situation. And money system, buy gold and silver. It's going to go way up. Mark my words here, a year from now, it'll probably double or more. Good investment time right now. And it's going up quite a bit. Things like GMO, always study what's in your food. Go vegan. You know, I'm playing around with fasting now, Chris. Intermittent fasting, only eating for about 6-8 hours a day, and then fasting for about 16. It's doing great, and I'm a very athletic person, and finding that it's not really slowing me down or anything. So it's little things like this. It's just understanding yourself. On the Temple of Apollo at Delphi are the two words, the most profound words of the ancient world: know thyself. And once you start to know thyself, and you can love yourself and be good to yourself, then you can be good to those people around you, to your immediate family, to your neighborhood, to your village, your city, your friends, your country, to your whole earth family. It's really that simple. But it starts right here inside, know thyself.
And it's funny that you say that. As humans, we can get to know ourselves. But when we look at these elite psychopaths, it's so hard to understand their motives and what they're doing. They are complete psychopaths, and it makes you wonder, is the origin of these bloodlines actually off planet? Because they don't seem human to me. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, Chris, because the first time I was on Coast to Coast with George Knapp, when my first book in the Esoteric series came out, Future Esoteric, I made the point of saying that the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they're more like the colonels and the captains in this. The real generals are malevolent ETs who wish to control this planet and have been doing so for many thousands of years. And they've been doing so with these cutout people who are willing to work along with them. And this is where the whole Luciferian thing starts making sense, where the child trafficking and bloodletting sacrifices, and you can see it all through antiquity. Look what they were doing on the top of the Aztec temples, their blood rituals. Well, those blood rituals were in service to malevolent ETs, which are not always present in our dense third dimensional reality. They're known to be fourth dimensional. This is part of the Archon network, and I do cover this in my next book too, because it's very important for people to understand that there are entities out there that can manipulate us and can feed off of us. Once again, fear is food to them. It's called louche. And if you stop feeding them, they go away. If you're always in a happy and an up mood state, they got nothing on you. And that is where the ideal place to be for a human being. And then you can start looking at these things a lot more practically and rationally and logically, seeing what's going on, seeing how to step out of the matrix.
Yeah, and these entities were known, you know, in the Bible as demons, in other ancient writings as archons. And these were seen, you know, throughout ancient writings, throughout history, and always seemed to have some level of control and influence over mankind.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's why they're here, because we have been in an ignorant state for a long time. And look, just like cows out in the meadow, they are ignorant to the future that they're going to have in a slaughterhouse, just like we are as well. And if you don't know what's happening, as our good friend Jordan Maxwell often says, you will get led to that slaughterhouse too, and you won't ever even see it coming. So I can't wait to see him at UFO Mega Conference. He's given his very last public lecture. So all of you out there, get yourself to Laughlin middle of February, because this is going to be a great conference.
Yes, it's going to be excellent. Can't wait for that. Now, when we look at another connection with these ancient bloodlines, it seems that with ancient discoveries, we see connections with elongated skulls and red hair and even giant beings, you know, remains of giant bones that, you know, have since been covered up by institutions like the Smithsonian. But these are all connections that I find fascinating that we see.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because this is how we can start to present evidence that there are non-human entities on this planet, have been at work. They're very human-like. And this is where people get thrown off, because they're very human-like, but they're not entirely human. How do we know this? Well, because their cranial capacity in these elongated skulls is 30% larger brain size and cranial capacity than humans. I was just down in South America, as you know, a year ago, and we went to a museum where one of these was on display. And the South American people, they're like really cool with it. They could understand it, and are okay with the whole explanation that there were these human-like but non-human entities living among them. Now, what a brain size of that abundance would suggest is that 30% larger cranium, probably 30% larger body. So there you have a giant. There you have a very highly intelligent being with brain power much larger than ours and presumably much stronger than ours. Brian Forrester, who was on a trip we did in Peru and Bolivia, he was doing some DNA tests, and those results have just come back. Just like the star child in Mexico that Lloyd Pye was also discussing before he passed away, unfortunately. But the DNA on it was the same. And that is, it was human mother, unknown father. DNA that was not identified in both cases. And so what this reminds me of, Chris, is how a donkey and a horse can mate and have offspring. It's called a mule. But that mule is sterile, and that mule is basically the end of the line. Could be the case with these ETs mating with human women and having offspring that were these elongated skulls.
Now,
it's
another
really interesting, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, just that in Paracas, Peru, there's a museum with over a dozen of these skulls on display. And one other very unusual feature that proves that they are not human is they don't have the suture, that crack that humans have right up through the middle of our forehead over the top of our skull. They're not there in these skulls. So once again, human-like, but not quite human at all.
And also the evidence that these weren't caused by doing the cradle headboarding that a lot of cultures are known to do. But these particular skulls don't have the features that the cultures that actually did that practice have, right?
That's right. And all across the world, I remember reading in National Geographic when I was a kid in Africa, they're putting boards on the head. There was a display in the Tiwanaku Museum in Bolivia about binding the head. I know up in Idaho, they were the Flathead Indians for the very same reason. So once again, you can reshape the head in many different ways. But what you cannot do is add cranial capacity. You cannot make the brain bigger. No matter how many ways you bind and press and board the head, you just can't do it. That's an impossibility. So suggesting, again, these are human-like, but not human. And then on the whole topic of giants, and I did do a lecture series on this a couple of years ago, still very, very interested in this subject. In one of my books, Sacred Places North America and Sacred Places Europe, when they were digging up these mound sites in the 19th and 20th century, they're finding giants and very, very unusual giants. My good friend, James Vieira, we were just at a conference together in Florida last week. He did his talk on it. And double rows of teeth, an extra digit on the hands and toes, and very large stature, much taller than even the largest human being that's ever lived, whose name was Robert Waldo from Alton, Illinois, named the Alton Giant. He was just shy under 9 feet tall. Some of these are even taller than him. So not human-like, and in his case, extreme pituitary gland tumor, which just keeps his body growing and growing and growing. And he died actually fairly young. I think he was in his late 20s when he finally died.
And a lot of the remains that we find of these giants and elongated skull beings are found near megalithic and monolithic structures around the world, such as Egypt and Peru. I find that interesting. It seems that there's some, obviously some sort of connection with these structures, right?
Yeah, that's right. And Brian Forrester pointed out in Sacsayhuaman, which is this incredible megalithic site just above Cuzco in Peru, that only in year 2012 they had found some elongated skulls there. They found them in the Sacred Valley of Peru. They found them in Tiwanaku in Bolivia. And these are all now considered pre-Incan site. I do another talk called The Mysteries of South America, and I bring this up, showing that there are these elongated skulls found all around the world, as well as in the Black Sea region of Europe and Central Asia. So it looks like they had a worldwide dispersion and perhaps had some kind of communication or interaction with one another, because I understand that the DNA testing of those other elongated skulls are also coming back the same way, showing that they had these similarities in their DNA.
That's very fascinating. Now, when it comes to the spiritual practices of some of these elites, of course, it goes back, and this knowledge was passed down through secret societies and mystery schools. But when it comes to the psychopaths today, what do you think that they're practicing? What is it that they're worshiping? Is it Satanism? Is it something older? Is it a mixed bag of occult practices? What do you think is going on there? Because there's so much dark practices that go along with it, the pedophilia, the human sacrifice. It seems like Satanism, but there's other things that are involved with it. What are your thoughts?
Chris, I think it's probably all the above that you just mentioned. And as the late Bill Cooper said in several of his speeches, often very emphatically, he said, when you put the aliens in the middle of this stuff, you get all the answers. And in this case, you really do. Because if these are bloodthirsty entities that feed off our loosh and also feed off of humans as well, I mean, this is very dark. This is not the kind of topic that you want to bring up at a dinner table or in front of kids, because it is putting humans in a very vulnerable position. We often think that we're the top of the food chain here and we're the masters of our environment and this and that, but it's not the case, and it hasn't been the case for many thousands of years. And then this does make sense of the blood sacrifice rituals, does make sense of the 40,000 plus children that go missing every year in this country. That's according to the FBI stats every year. So where are all these people going? How do they just disappear? Well, this kind of starts to make sense, because when you start putting the aliens in the middle of this stuff, and they are demanding that their cutouts, and I use that term meaning the humans that go along with it. I didn't grow up in a religious family, but the whole concept of selling your soul out to the devil starts to make a lot more sense when you think about how these cutouts are often given fame and fortune and everything they ever desired, but they're kind of making this pact with an entity. And in the conclusion of my book, Future Esoteric, I make the very strong connection that maybe all of these demons and the devil himself are actually really just reptilian ETs and their minions, the Greys, who have done a lot of the abducting and cattle mutilations. So a lot of these mysteries that have been in the UFO community for a long time all start coming together. I call it like a unified theory. When you start adding all these dark factors in, and then you see everything that's going wrong in the world today, and we still have war, we still have famine, we still have people that are dying of starvation every single day. It shouldn't be this way. We're smart enough as a human race to get over this. We should be moving towards a utopian society, but there are these roadblocks in the way, and that is our challenge. Not the aliens coming down, the good ones, to help us. And I should be very clear in saying that there are good ones, and they do want to see us succeed. But there is something like the prime objective in Star Trek that they can't come down here and just do what we should be doing for ourselves. The prime directive is what it's called in Star Trek. And it's a very similar law. It's like the law of karma. It's something that is universal, and it is applied by all the good ETs. Now, will they help us? Will they channel through us? Will they occasionally show up for the right people? I think yes. But they're here to basically assist us, not to be our babysitters. Because what would happen if, say, some benevolent ETs from the Pleiadians landed on the White House lawn? We would start saying, oh, great, you're here to save us. Well, go fix Fukushima. It's still leaking radiation. Go unpollute our oceans. Do all these things for us. Yay, you're our savior. You're our new gods. That's probably what happened when they appeared before, and they're not going to do it. They want us to do it. And if we can channel them or work through them or understand them in exopolitic ways, then that's humans waking up. And that's what I endeavor myself, and hopefully with my books and talking to people like you, Chris, and your audience, which I know is very aware and awakened, to understand this and do it one person at a time. And that's why I've always said disclosure is coming from the ground up. Disclosure is you and me. Don't hold your breath waiting for a government to tell you, because they're not. They're backward engineering this stuff. They're using it in their own secret space programs in many countries around the world. They're not going to do it for us. We're going to do it for us. And it's our responsibility now to wake other people up and help others understand. Just like me, I love learning from people. I love listening when somebody has a very interesting thing to say, and being a part of that dialogue, not just being a big mouth myself and saying, I know it all. I don't know it all. And I could never know it all, but I do try to learn something new every day. And that is knowing thyself.
I want to go back to something you mentioned that I find interesting, that your theory that these demons, these archons, may be actually reptilian extraterrestrials that are controlling things and feeding off of us and abducting us, and in conjunction with the Greys. That's very fascinating. Talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, we have to understand dimensions. We have to understand that you and I, humans, we're locked in a very dense third dimensional reality. And it's called solipsism, when all you can see is the reality around you. And it's a very narrow way of thinking and a narrow way of understanding. Once we start to see that, hey, there are things going on outside of my purview, but they're still going on, just because I can't see them doesn't mean they're not. Once we start to expand our way of thinking, then we can look into things like the dimensionality, which is all around us, which is between me and my computer right here, right now. 13 dimensions, according to scientists who study this. But let's just stick with 3, 4, and 5. The third dimension is this dense third dimensional reality we're locked into. We're actually kind of on the low end of that third dimensional reality. Once in a while, you can get a little glimmer into the fourth. You can see orbs sometimes. Cameras pick it up quite regularly. That's seeing into the fourth dimension. Picking up ghosts sometimes or other entities which exist in this fourth dimension. This is what the seances, the Ouija boards, the spiritualist movement of the 19th century, this is what they were tapping into, is these incarnate souls that have not been reborn, that want to stay here on Earth. Well, this archonic network also operates on the fourth dimension, and they are parasitic in nature, and they will tap into you if A, you're unaware, B, you're full of fear, anger, low emotions, or C, calling them into your existence. You should be very careful what you wish for when you do a seance or a Ouija board. I mean, how many of us have been totally weirded out by those experiences enough to say, I don't even want to go that way because I do not want to invite these things into my reality. And then the fifth dimension is one of pure love. And that is when, this is where I believe the higher dimensional ETs that are of a benevolent nature come from. And if you are of pure love, you do not want to interfere with another entity's life. But we have been inflicted by this parasitic invasion of the archons. And let's use that as like an umbrella term for reptilians, for the grays, for even these little entities that can invade our space, as Carlos Castaneda said, or the jinn of the Arabic world. There are these little tricksters that can also affect our way of thinking. And there are ways to counter that. I have a chapter in my new book, Beyond Esoteric, called Being Aware of Predatory Species. And unless you're aware of them, you're not even going to know that you're being they're predators and they're parasites and they're attaching onto you. And once you start to become aware of them, then you have a way of it at least countering their power. And that's why I want people to really understand. And if this is new information that I'm giving to people, I can fully understand how out there it may seem, but I could tell you that it is in the record of many ancient cultures, many shamanic journeys, and people who have actually come in contact with them, and people that I've known that have been affected personally by archons.
And it's very discouraging in a way when you try to get people to open their eyes to some of the things behind what's going on. When you take example the pedophilia, once you know it's starts to get people looking at it saying, you know, oh, maybe there's something behind this. But then you bring up Satanism, and then it goes deeper with possible alien involvement. That's when they shut down. That's when their cognitive dissonance kicks in. And then they stop looking deeper into this phenomenon.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chris. And cognitive dissonance is a way that your rational mind will get shut down. And that is because, think about it, this is a very distasteful subject to think that we could be pried upon by these parasitic entities, not only in a physical way, but in a mental way. And so if you can't even conceive of what it is, how can you possibly start to understand any way to counter it? And this is what is called the Earth Dilemma. This is the situation humanity is in right now. And that's also why it's called the Great Awakening, because people are finally, after many, many lifetimes, starting to understand and figure it out. Once you do, I'm telling you, it is an incredible sense of freedom and liberation, because we have so much potential in our human mind and our bodies, body, mind, and spirit, you understand those three, you can live longer, you can live healthier, you can be happier, you'll be more successful. And things, you know how many people, life is like such a struggle to so many people. But when you get in the flow and you really start to know thyself, life is not a struggle anymore. Life is beautiful. Life is joie de vivre, as I say, the French term for the joy of life. Just get out there and experience it. And you know, the time is short. We don't know how long we're going to have in these bodies. So do the best you can. Be in service to others. And this is a very clear distinction between these ETs, those who are manipulating us, those who have been doing all these things, including the blood ritual sacrifice or getting cut out people to do it for them and then getting the louche reward, their service to self. They're doing it for themselves. But when you go beyond that and you say, I'm in service to others, it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. And then you're in that nonviolent state that Gandhi and Martin Luther King, and look, Gandhi's a national hero of India. Martin Luther King Day we just had last Monday. You know, these are the heroes of our world. These are the people we should celebrate because they changed their people and all of us in doing so. And that's what we have to strive to be, nonviolent in our actions and positive in our outcome and in service to others, helping our friends and families and helping ourselves and loving ourselves, as I said earlier. Very, very important. And that's part of knowing thyself.
Very well said. Now, another thing we're seeing now, and it's really interesting to me, and I'm excited about some of the possibilities we see with this, is the UFO phenomenon. I cover this. First thing we're seeing is, I think, an increase of sightings. I get a lot more footage and videos and pictures sent to me starting a few years ago. And now we have the mainstream media, of course, covering this, the To the Stars Academy, the Pentagon letting naval officers report sightings, things like this. Mm-hmm. It's all very exciting, interesting. I'm not sure I trust some of the government sources. What do you think is going on? Do you think we're being prepared for something in the future that they know something's going to happen? Or is it just something that occurs every, you know, few decades? You know, we've seen UFO crazes before and it died off. Or is this phenomenon going to keep increasing and we're going to see it actually go somewhere?
Oh, we are already seeing it go somewhere. We've just announced the new Space Force. Now we have a sixth arm of the military after the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Marines, and now we have Space Force. So we have a new way of interacting. So what this means is, Chris, is it's a soft disclosure. And indeed, contact, sightings, all of this is getting more frequent, and this is the important thing, more normalized. So we can look back at what the Brookings Institute said in the 1950s, that, oh, if we tell the people that there are UFOs and aliens, they're going to freak out like the War of the Worlds and jump out of their windows. Well, we've kind of grown up since then, and I think we can handle the truth. And that's what this is all about, Chris. This is a truth embargo that has been imposed on the human race. And it's all these things we've been talking about tonight, but I'm glad you brought this up because really the UFO phenomenon, understanding ETs, it's called exopolitics, what they're doing here, what now we're doing to them with the secret space program, is so utterly important. And I often say it at Contact in the Desert when I'm speaking publicly or in interviews, this is the most important subject any of us could endeavor to understand. And when I was doing an interview with Jimmy Church one time, I said exactly the same thing. And there's Linda Moulton Howe in the front row. She's like, absolutely, bravo, that's it. And it is. It's what we're all doing. It's all the people that you see at these conferences. We're all endeavoring to make this the most important subject to humanity, to understand it, to not be afraid of it, and to be open to it. And that is how this disclosure from the bottom up is going to take place. And I think all the contactees throughout history, from George Adamski to Billy Meyer, all the people who have had close encounters of the fifth kind with the good ETs, I mean, people can be abducted against their will as well with the service to self malevolent ETs. But the good ETs would say, you are open to it. You weren't afraid of us. And it's interesting because down in South America, Chris, there are high incidences of UFO close encounters of the fifth kind, where ships will just come down into a village. We met this shaman woman and her daughter, and they traveled with the Resonance Academy with us for a while. They were having face-to-face interactions with ETs and being quite open with it, just saying, oh yeah, we're cool with it. And they come down and we meet with them and we share information, and they tell us we have a beautiful culture, and we say how incredible they are. And it's like a friendship. It's like an old friendship. So we have to drop the fear in all this. We have to drop the fear of contact with extraterrestrial races. And if you look at the history of it, our governments have been involved with ETs for 70 plus years. I like Colonel Corso's book, The Day After Roswell. That's really when it all started, not only the backward engineering, but the whole truth embargo about keeping humanity in the dark on this subject. And that's all breaking down now. Truth is like a constant in the world. Let's call it a pillar. Truth is a pillar. You can wrap it up with disinformation. You could put lipstick on a pig on it. All that stuff eventually just falls away, Chris. What's still standing? The truth. And it always will. And that's what we endeavor to understand.
Something else I'd also love to see happen, and my audience is probably tired of me saying it, but I'd love to see researchers of all different fields, such as paranormal, Bigfoot research, UFOs, consciousness, energy, they need to come together and do research together, because this phenomenon is all connected to each other. You know, it needs to be not only the conference that's coming up, but outside of it, we need to get together and discuss this to better understand the bigger picture. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I would agree. And that's what I call this unified theory, because it all must tie together. It's like in physics, it's called the unified field theory, that every physics equation must all tie into the greater whole. Same thing happens in exopolitics and the paranormal. There has to be an explanation that brings it all in. The short answer is understanding dimensions is a big part of it, because maybe some of these craft are not coming from across the universe. Maybe they're interdimensional right here on Earth, and we know about underground bases and the hollow Earth. They could be coming right here from Earth, and there are interdimensional travelers who are coming in through wormholes that space and time as we know it do not apply to them. So the physics they're going by, again, this would tie into a unified field theory of all physics on a much, much grander scale, of course, but it would also explain how they're getting here, so quickly. And when UFOs are seen, they're often seen making a sharp 90 degree angle and then disappearing. That's how they're then transcending between dimensions. So there's so much we need to still learn and understand, and it's such a great time to be alive. And oftentimes people think, oh, I'm just one person, what can I do? Well, what you can do is understand this stuff. What you can do is help yourself by helping others to get over this fear of the unknown, this fear of what these ETs may be doing here, even if they are here to harm us. I think there is a veneer of protection if you're in a much higher vibrational state with your emotions, that they can't get you quite as easily. I know it certainly has worked for me, even though I do believe I am a targeted individual. But some of that may not be ET at all. Some of that, I think, is because I'm outspoken and could be bad apples in the government that are hacking my computer and spying on me. But we rise above it, and we don't hate, and we don't fight back viciously. And John Lennon had a great quote. He's like, they're going to try to tug at your beard. They're going to try to poke you and provoke you. And the only thing they can't handle is when you use sense of humor and nonviolence, and then you're protected. And that's how we get back at them. And that's how we make fun of them. And in a way, it's a soft way for us to help other people get through this. Because if you have been abducted or through some of these experiences, it's very painful. And you're not even, maybe a whole lifetime of therapy may not help you get through it. So I have total compassion for people that have to live with all this, and so much respect for those who help others get through it too. Because look, we're a big human family here, Chris. We're all in this together. I wanna see the human race succeed. I know you do too. That's why we're going to this conference. That's why we do these shows. That's why I write my books. We can do a little bit at a time. And I think when you really start to see your purpose for being here on Earth, you're going to start doing a little bit at a time. Everybody is. And then it's game over for the cabal, really. They cannot compete with an enlightened race. And that's why they're doing so much stuff to us as well, to try to keep us suppressed. But time and again, not going to work.
Yeah, I have to agree. And speaking of the conference, can't wait to see you there. It's going to be an awesome event. And you're going to be presenting on the mysteries of Antarctica. Now, tell us a little bit about your presentation. I guess, what are your final conclusions after actually going there? I understand you didn't actually find some of these major anomalies and then some of these conspiracy theories that you hear on the internet. You know, you didn't find any underground bases or major pyramids or aliens out there or anything. But what are your thoughts on Antarctica, and should we keep pursuing research down there to try and find some of these anomalies?
Yeah, absolutely. We need to pursue it and continue to look at what's going on. My presentation, in fact, 1 year ago today, I was in Antarctica and on a sailboat for 26 days with 14 people, and we had pretty much free reign to go where we wanted to, jump in the Zodiac, go to a penguin colony, go to research stations. And everybody I talked to, they didn't know. That doesn't mean what's going on that down there may not be real. They just didn't know. Maybe some people didn't want to tell us. But we're just in one tiny part of the northern tip of the Palmer Peninsula. Antarctica is the fifth largest continent in the world, Chris. It's like two Australias combined. It's like the lower 48 in Canada. So the distances are so vast to go and investigate these locations. And I have a friend in McMurdo this season, and I know people that go back, and I'm constantly asking him, look into this for me, ask these kind of questions for me. So my talk this year on Antarctica is the latest findings. And I do have some new information that I didn't present last year when I got back from Antarctica. Because a lot of these can be, you're seeing stuff on Google Earth. Maybe it's just shadow. Maybe it's not really all that it's cracked up to be. I'll tell you this, though, Chris. I'm a bit more skeptical on some of the pictures that have emerged of Antarctica since my trip going down there. I guess I was a little naive thinking that it'd be easier to try to locate some of these places than it really was. For the reasons I gave, because it's such a massive continent, and the place that we went to is where about 90% of all tourists go. So it's somewhat contained into this one area. But we did find that there is a massive no-fly zone over part of the South Pole, and that is confirmed by Linda Moulton Howe's whistleblower named Brian S. And he said even flew over this hole so big that you could take a plane into it, fly it around, and come back. In Admiral Byrd's diaries, he also mentions this hole as being different kind of flora and fauna growing down there, so some kind of heat source. And Chris, we do know that Antarctica is the most volcanic continent in the world. So where you have volcanism, you have bacteria life, you have different microbial life. In fact, they're drilling down into Lake Vostok and finding totally unique life forms down there. So it's very cutting edge what's going on. Even the established science, such as the neutrinos and the cosmic rays coming out of the Earth in Antarctica, is a fascinating story. And this is established science. You can read about it on any science website. So this stuff is equally as important and interesting as the speculation, as if there might be an antediluvian civilization, pyramids poking there through the ice. Some of these I have already debunked because I have talked to some expedition crews that go down there, and they have shown them some of the photos, and they're like, oh, there's no helicopter at all like that. So that couldn't be fake photo or not Antarctica. And this is how we do it. I often say we're researchers. We're not regurgitators. We have to get out there and look, if we find something that's not true, man up and say, hey, I made a mistake. That's a fake. I can prove it. And that's how we advance this field. This is how we're going to start to separate the wheat from the chaff about all the things we hear about going on in Antarctica. So I would invite all your listeners, they're coming to UFO Mega Conference, to come to my talk called The Hidden Anomalies of Antarctica. And I'll share this and much, much more in my talk.
Now, do you have any plans on returning at all in the near future to Antarctica?
Well, you know, my Nordic genes, I kind of like the cold weather. I was just up skiing in 20-degree powder snow today, and boy, was I happy as a lark. And I have talked to a film crew that was discussing going down there this season. That's not going to happen. Season's over in the beginning of March. But the producer who was interested in the subject was just involved in another project they had to get done. So yeah, I'm not leaving anything out of question. It could still happen. And I would definitely go back. And I know locations now to scout where, if I am able to go investigate some of these paranormal spots, including where the Nazi base 211, Point 211 or New Berlin base, I know exactly where it is. And I'd love to go down there with some Geiger counters and test to see if it's radioactive, if Project Argus really did drop nuclear bombs there in the late 1950s. So things like that could be a great reveal. And then, of course, finding any remnants of the base would just be an absolute coup. So there's things like that. There's things like going to Pole, South Pole, Amundsen, Scott, McMurdo station, mostly coming from McMurdo up to the South Pole, like my friend Bernie did. I said, look around and see if there's anyone from the NSA there, because they're the ones that always work on the UFO secrecy and crash retrievals. And he did not find any NSA working there. But it's a pretty big base, and I'm open to these possibilities of it being there, but look, it's probably hidden in plain sight. And I'll show in my presentation that Google Earth definitely masks out certain areas of Antarctica, but they also reveal things to us that maybe, I don't know, is it a red herring? Could we be set up in a way? Or is there evidence of antediluvian civilization down there, like Corey Good and some others have said they have seen personally? So we'll see.
What are your thoughts on the recent massive anomaly on Google Earth that looks like a giant face?
Yeah. This is what I mean about shadows and crevices and moving ice. I'm not really buying it entirely. Look, humans anthropomorphize ourselves and what we see. We like to see our own image. You know, God said that humans were created in his image. That's what that means. And we can often find something in the ice, something off planet that looks like something else, and say, well, there's your proof. But like I said, I'm more skeptical now than I was, and I'm a little bit dubious of that face. I would almost guarantee you that a year from now that won't be there, because the ice is very dynamic. It's moving quite a bit. And these things just get chewed up and spit out by glacial activity every year. So there's a guy called Florida Marquis that does a bunch of these Antarctica videos. I watch every single one of them, and I agree with maybe 10% of his findings that there's some merit to that particular location. The rest I just see as crevices and shadows and wishful thinking. I think, you know, as a researcher, we got to be a little bit skeptical. I think it's a good thing to be skeptical when we look at these and not just be so knee-jerk. Oh, there it is. There's our proof. Well, let's try to get many data points before we reach that conclusion. And that's what I try to do personally as a researcher.
Now, for the last couple of minutes that we have, I'd love for you to tell us about what is going to be in your new book.
Yeah, well, a lot of the information that I was talking about here tonight, the sections are three sections, like in my other two esoteric guides. It starts with neo-fascism. It's basically how a new form of fascism has taken over in this country and in other institutions around the world. Then we go into the embargo, which is a lot of the truth withheld regarding giants, ETs, underground bases, so many things that we're not being told about. And then the final section, which I'm working on right now, is Ubermind. It is how we are being changed through transhumanism, sometimes by our own choice, sometimes not, and things that are available to us to enhance our mind, to enhance our bodies, even enhance our spirit. And it's all new material. I never repeat myself in any of my books. So this third and final installation in the esoteric series is going to be a good one. It'll be out at the end of this year.
All right, the end of this year. Looking forward to that. We're going to have
that's a promise. It's been announced.
Awesome.
You bet, Chris.
For that. Yeah, definitely. And Brad, thank you so much for coming on again. I can't wait to meet you at the conference in February. And we'll get together. We'll talk then. We'll do some live streams.
You got it, Chris. I look forward to it. Thanks again for having me on. Always a pleasure to speak with you.